understanding the kind of man that he is and the rest of us are. He's been on the battlefield for a long time. Amen. And some of us have recently started on the battlefield, but the one thing in general is we're all in the same battle. Amen. We're all heading in the same direction. Amen. So we want to thank God. I have had opportunity on a couple of occasions to stop there and visit with Deacon, and I told him it'll be such a wonderful thing to see your face back into place. Amen. Because we know this is where you want to be. Amen. So we thank God for that. And all of you who are here, we just bless God, and we're happy that you have come to worship with us today. Amen. And we hope you will continue to do that. We find that it is a good thing. It's good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. Amen. So without any further delay, I'm going to call your attention. We've been kind of running on a theme, just to give a little background to some of you who may not have been here in previous days in the year. We do want you to know that all the messages that we preach are online all the time. So if you ever want to do any catch up and you're at home and you can access the internet, you can hear everything that has been preached in our ministry for many years. On every Sunday, all the messages are available. That is part of our outreach ministry. And we are online at sttmbc.org. Or if you have a handout like this, you know, it will also have the address. We have a number of ways that you can connect to our website and be updated on current things, things in the past. Just if you want to do extra study, if there's a topic that you're interested in that you may want to research a little bit more in detail, please go online to our website. And if you don't have a handout like this and you're interested in one, let the ushers know. We'll try to make sure you get one or a card or something that has that information before you leave the sanctuary today. Amen. We have some other help God has been sending me. I thank God for Pastor Patty on this side, and of course, you know, our house minister, Pastor John G. Amen. God is beginning to reinforce us with the leadership that we need. Amen. And we are thanking him for it, because this is an answer to prayer. Amen. Amen. So we thank God for that. Amen. And of course, anytime, as we said, we get an old soldier that's been out there a long time to come back in and show that he's still on the battlefield, we love that, of course. Amen. In the person of Deacon Perry and his son and his daughter who are here with us. Amen. And all the others of you, I don't want to miss Sister Patty. Getting my words twisted up there. We thank God for First Lady Patty. Amen. Being in with us also, and all the rest of you who have taken time to come out for this time of worship. Amen. So we've been talking about something, and I just want to give a brief synopsis of what it is to help you have some context for what we're looking at here today for our message. We've been talking about how we coined a phrase that we said that we wanted this to be the year without fear. Now, if you haven't been here, you may not have heard that phrase, and it's a very difficult thing to pull off, a year without fear, because there's so many fearful things in the world. But the reason that we have chosen this is because if you trust God, God loves you. I can tell you that. I can openly say to you with just as the biggest voice I can come up with that God loves you exactly like you are. And when I first heard that when I was lost, it was a kind of a strange thing to hit my ears. What? God loves me? You know why? Because I had evaluated myself and I said, boy, there's a lot of stuff I don't do that's right. A whole lot of stuff that's that I think God would frown on. That I do myself. This is the way I, and so it hit me. Somebody told me God loves me. It's like, well, I don't know. He might love you, but you don't really know me is what I was thinking. But you know, once I got the idea in my mind and came to an understanding that the scripture says that we have to go by what did God publish on the subject. He said in one of the most popular and famous verses that has been written in the Holy Scripture is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We say that one verse, John 3:16, is a capsule that contains the entire gospel. And we call it gospel because it's good news that God loves me. No matter how I am or how what I've done, people a lot worse than me can know even that God loves you. People better than me can know that God loves you. It doesn't have anything to do with the consistency of how you are. It has to do with the nature of God. And so what I want you to see, and that's what we've been learning. So since you understand that God loves you, take that into your mind, simmer on it a little bit, and then think about this. He loves you, and so therefore, he wants to bless you. He wants to have a relationship with you. I wouldn't even dare to say that if you're still here and you're still breathing, and you've been out in the world I was out in a minute ago before I came in here, you know it's a miracle to some extent that you're here today. That God has blessed you. He has kept you when you've seen trouble and danger all around you. See, and the world could be a scary place. And so what I wanted people to do, and God put it in my spirit to talk with you all about living a year without fear. There's a lot of fearful stuff. Earlier in the year, we were all worried about who's going to be the president. Oh, we worried about that for a good while. And we worry about what is the president going to do now that he got to be the president. And we worry about how is that going to affect our lives and impact us personally. And not only that, but who's going to be the mayor and who's going to fill all these offices and politics and all that. Well, I want you to know God is the highest office that there is, first of all. And he's in control of all of that. So I don't have to worry about it. You know, I don't have to worry about it at all because God will put in who he wants. The scripture says God installs who he wants and he takes them down. If he's done with them, he'll take them out of the way. It's like the dust on the scales, he said, the things that men do. In other words, when you set up a scale, you can still get an accurate weight, even though there may be some dust on there. The dust is worthless. It doesn't add or subtract, doesn't change the weight of what you're weighing. On the scale, he said, that's how human politics is to me. It's like dust on a scale. Really doesn't amount to anything. See, doesn't mean it's not important and that we shouldn't vote. I teach, God says, go and be active in the voting process, all that. Vote your mind and your prayer and your will and your desire. But don't worry about it if it don't go your way. That's what God is saying. See, because there have been some evil governments in times past. If we think the one we got is the worst one, think about the one that was in office and they found the Son of God, who is God in the flesh, guilty and crucified him. Capital punishment. Well, that was the worst government there's ever been. See, and they found Jesus guilty, God's Son, crucified him on a cross, gave him capital punishment. See, so you want to talk about an unjust government, the worst one has already been. The ones we have are far better. They haven't gone that far yet. But the thing in this for me and you is we don't have to worry about them. Don't lose any night's sleep worried about who's sitting down in City Hall or who's up in Washington, D.C., who's in the Kremlin or any of these other places where men take rule from. Don't worry about that. This is something you do not have to fear. You know what? A lot of threat against your health. All kinds of words about disease and all kinds of stuff of that sort. Violence. There's so many things you could be afraid of in the world. But we want you to know that God is protecting you from all these things. What I'm concerned about, and I spent a lot of time, wasted a lot of time worrying about a lot of stuff that didn't really benefit me. Might have caused me to lose sleep or make bad decisions based on what somebody else is doing. See, and I changed my mind somewhere along the line. God said, think about me. Understand I'm above all of them and any other situation going on in your life. I made the body. I can heal the body. I made the mind. I can heal the mind. I made the spirit. I can heal your spirit. Even if you've been put down and trodden down and made to feel bad in some kind of way emotionally, we sometimes have emotional things that we fear and emotional damage. God says, I created the emotions. In fact, I made you in my own image. The Bible says in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. See, and we were made in his image and his likeness. So you know what? I would rather invest my time rather than worried about what the world is doing, what the politicians are doing, all that kind of stuff, what kind of diseases are out there. They're going to be out there, but you don't have to worry about it. And so we declared this to be the year without fear. And that's a thought that I just want to prevail in your mind as you go through the rest of your year. You're going to find out you feel better. You're going to find out you are more productive. You're going to find out you don't have so many things threatening your mindset so you can be more useful in the things that you do in life. And so we started to talk about a few things, how to look in the Word and find out how many times God says, be of good cheer, do not fear. For example, Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will come, I will help you, I will keep you, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. God promises that. Now, does that mean I'm not going to have any trouble or difficult situations? No, because he says, when you go through the fire, I'll be with you. When you go through the water, it will not overtake you. He says these things. So I'm going to go through some changes, but my disposition and my attitude is going to be centered on God, not on the situation that I'm going through. And so you want to practice awareness of God. When you are aware of God, then you can release some of the things that will cause you anxiety or fear. And so we've been talking about that throughout the year. You may want to try to look up some of those other messages. So we turned the corner and we started to talk about some different things. Today I want you to see, and we'll try to make it as brief as we can here. I want you to see how you don't have to worry about things that do threaten you, like enemies. Enemies threaten us a lot of times. You get a letter in the mail. Oh, boy, it's fearful now. They're talking about what they're going to do to me. Either somebody's going to sue you over some bills or some kind of anything. I mean, you might get any kind of a message, and you were feeling fine until you open the mail. Oh, my goodness. And you look at it, now you're wrecked for the rest of the day, maybe for a week. Who knows? Or maybe longer. So, but do you have to go there? You don't have to go there, and I want to show you why. We're going to talk about that in this message just a little bit here today. So I want you to see something that's important, and this is why you can change your focus and get your life moving in a good direction. And you don't have to be hung up by the stuff that normally people who are not connected with God would have fears. There's all kinds of violence. Just this past week, my son experienced some violence. And he's sitting here this morning, so I thank God for that. Because the violence came in, but it didn't take him out. Amen. So I thank God for that. And there's a lot of people like that who have had situations in their life, but God was with them. That doesn't mean you don't have trouble. We all have trouble. Trouble comes, but you want to learn how to walk by faith and trust in God. So today, let's listen just to a few verses from the scripture from the Old and the New Testament. I'm going to ask someone to come and read from the book of Isaiah, chapter number 54, verses 13 to 17. And then we're going to hear a reading, two readings from the New Testament, actually one from the book of James, just a couple of verses, and a few verses from Romans, and we'll have them read. We ask you to give them your attention at this time. Amen.
And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In the righteousness shalt thou be established, thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy.
My, my.
No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me,
saith the Lord. Amen, amen. The old covenant of the Lord to the people of the Lord. May God bless the reading and the hearing of the old covenant. Now for the New Testament scripture reading.
Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
My, my.
Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded.
Amen. That's the word of the Lord.
Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scripture of the prophets, according to the commandments of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen.
Amen. Amen. The word of the Lord to the people of the Lord. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. And we want to extract for a topic today, boldly pledging the protection of the promises of God. Boldly pledging the protection of the promises of God. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, we bless you. We praise you. We thank you for your word today, Father. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for each and every person that has assembled here today, Father. And we just bless you today, God. And we give you praise because it's an excellent thing that we're able to assemble and worship freely. Lord God, and we just thank you for your word. We ask you to open our ears, our heart, our mind, our understanding. Help us to go away today with a new look on how things are around us and in a new way to evaluate what's going on in our lives. And Father, we thank you that you love us and you promise to be with us even to the end of the world. And so we thank you for that. We ask you to give us grace today to hear and learn. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The first thing, all of these things that God makes available to you are predicated upon your understanding of who God is and what he is doing for you. And this is why the prophecy of Isaiah is critical. He says in Isaiah 54:13, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord. That means to become a disciple of God, a learner, someone who learns what God says. And what's going to be the result of when you have sat and learned and been fed and taught with God's word? He says, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Wow. When I learn from God, it's going to give me peace. Why? Because the world's trying to just work the opposite. It's trying to get you stirred up, upset. Really, there's a lot of greed behind a lot of stuff goes on in the world. TV commercials come on to make you discontent. Boy, your stuff's not good enough. You need this stuff here that we're talking about here. Oh, your car ain't right. You got to get one of these. They make you feel bad. The keeping up with the Joneses, we usually call it. Yeah, well, you got to get in step. You're out of line. Look at that stuff you're wearing. That's old stuff. This is the new stuff. They want to make you feel bad about everything. Or here are the new Air Jordans or the whatever, all these different kinds of things. You got to have it. Well, they create all this kind of stuff to steal your peace. But God says, all my children, speaking of, he says thy children, because he's actually speaking to Messiah, the Son of God, shall be taught of the Lord. Now, it's a good thing to learn from God, because when you got the real knowledge of the truth from God, it's going to produce peace in your life, not discontentment. See? And so if you really need peace, think about what God says to you and what he thinks. It's more important, because we were saying in our prayer today, one verse of scripture says, the heavens and the earth shall pass away, but my words shall never pass away. So if you're standing on his word, guess what? It's better than the real estate that you're standing on. Because the real estate going away, it's going to be consumed, but his word will never be consumed. It will never go away. So you can have more peace when you are in God than you can when you're anywhere else on earth or anywhere in the creation. He says, notice this, the great shall be the peace of thy children, and in righteousness shalt thou be established. That's what we need. Sometimes we feel so transient on earth, you don't feel established. You'd like to have more things to your credit. You might discount what God has done for you already in your life. But I don't want you to do that. God doesn't want you to do that. He wants you to know, he told Abraham, get away from that establishment that you've been living in. He said in Genesis 12, get thee out of thy country and out of thy father's house and away from thy kindred. Come into a land that I will show you, and I will bless you and make your name great. Can you imagine leaving everything you acquired for 75 years? And said, well, I've been working for 75 years to acquire all this. And you said, what? Get out, leave it, walk away from it. Wow, would that destabilize you? You would think it might. But you know what the Bible says? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Because if you trust God and you believe him, and you step out on what he says, God accounts your faith in him for righteousness. So in other words, he was considered righteous because he believed God. And he left everything that he had acquired in all of that time. So that's just one example. We could go pick through the Old Testament. I could show you 1,000 people. For example, Ruth. I'm not going to spend a lot of time with it. Ruth was a Moabitess or a Moabitess, some people say. She was from a country that was against the Jews who were the covenant people of God. But she left Moab when Naomi said, I'm going back, after she had been through a lot of tragedy. And she said, wherever you go, I'm going. And I'm going to your land. It's going to be my land. And your God is going to be my God. She had faith. She said, I'm cutting Moab loose, because I can see something in you, even though you've had tragedy and trouble, that draws me to the God you serve. And she left and went out of Moab. And of course, God blessed her. And so there's so many times we could look at that over and over. We're not going to take time this morning. I want to keep you moving toward another point. We want you to get to the place where you can boldly be pledging the protection of the promises of God. When God has made you a lot of promises, you and me, he promised you that I will never leave you nor forsake you. So you don't ever have to worry about loneliness. I am never alone. God is with me all the time. I can talk to him. You might see me riding down the street and wonder what's wrong with him. But you don't look so strange today now, because everybody's riding in the car talking with the Bluetooth and you think they're going crazy. Used to be, you see somebody talking, man, somebody might have a few screws loose over there. You know, riding down the street talking and nobody in there with you, you know what I'm saying. But I was doing it before the Bluetooth came out. And I'm doing it today. I'm talking to the Lord all the time. And I have to admit, sometimes somebody gets in my way and I don't say something that might the Lord might like for me to say. They cut me off on the road. You know how that goes. But then I have to talk to God after I go there. Got to say, Lord, forgive me. But that I just slipped a little bit there, my God, because I don't do everything right. You know, and I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying you have God in your life. He's there for the good and the bad and the ugly. He's there for whatever situation you're dealing with. And so, but talk to God. Start expressing yourself. We just call it prayer. Sometimes people think prayer has to be formal. Oh, I got to go somewhere and get on my knees. No, you can pray anywhere. Jonah was in a fish, in the belly of a whale. He called out unto the Lord. So many people you find in an obscure situation calling on the Lord. Learn to talk to God routinely and relatively, because he said, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. If you talk to me, you know what? You can talk to the credit people. They may say no 10 times. You may only need to talk to God once. And you may have to wait. Sometimes God will put you on a waiting list, because he knows you're not ready for the thing that you're asking. But talk to God about it. It's more effective than any other thing you can do. Develop that relationship. That's what he meant here in Isaiah 54:13. All your children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Now, what I have learned is when I talk to God about something, if it doesn't come to pass right away, I can be in peace about it. I don't have to worry about it anymore. I've taken it off my worry list and put it on God's punch list. See, and God's going to get around to it when he gets ready. And if he doesn't, I don't really need it. That's what I've learned in my time. But what I want you to see here is that what the thing you need is peace. And it says, great shall be the peace of thy children. That's a promise from God. So we can pledge that for ourselves. Say, I believe that. So I'm going to walk under the protection of the promise of God. That I'm going to learn from God. I'm going to receive from God. And I'm going to have the peace that God's children, he has promised them. See? And then he says, in righteousness shalt thou be established. God is going to establish you in righteousness. I like that. Because if it's in righteousness, it's good. Everything's good about it. It's right. It's upright. It's not underhanded. Nothing dark. Nothing dirty. It's clean and it's right. And thou shalt be far from oppression. See that? For thou shalt not fear. There it is, right in the word. And from terror. You're going to be away from terror, from oppression. You're not going to have fear, for it shall not come near thee. See that? Now, nothing has to change except your relationship with God. Now, it doesn't mean trouble won't come. It'll come, but I'm not worried about it. Why? Because I just talked to God about it. And God promised me that I'm going to be all right. See, he's promising you. It's not, you might be thinking, and I have to always watch this one. People think, oh, you preach. No wonder that's why you think you had that with God. No. Some people, I bet there may not be anybody here that knew me back then. But, you know, when I was the farthest out away from God, I had to call on the Lord, because you know what happened? I got myself in such a pickle It was ridiculous, and it looked like my stuff was coming unglued by the edges. My whole life was about to go down the drain. And I remembered something my grandmother told me when I was a kid. She said, son, when you get where you can't handle something or if it's over your head, call on the Lord. I hadn't done that. Now I found myself in trouble. See, you know what I did? I said, boy, you know what? This is a God-sized situation here that I've gotten into. Because nobody else going to help me. It looks like I'm going down the drain. And I remember what she said. She had been gone for years. And I called on her, and much to my chagrin, he answered. Came in that situation, started fixing my life, and my life has been getting better. And I'm still a basket case. You can ask my wife, she'll tell you. But I still got issues. But I'm a lot better than I used to be. And it doesn't make any difference where you start. That's the thing I want you to know. You can come straight out the gutter and you start believing God and let him bless you. Start asking him to bless your life and he will establish you. He will start to build you up and bring you up. There's a lot of folks here, I could probably get a witness in the room that God has brought you out of a dark situation and he's moving you forward. Amen. So now notice this. Just get in on this. This is the best thing since sliced bread, probably before sliced bread. Okay, here we go. Now, I'm not going to say collard greens. I'm going to leave that out of it. But in either case, notice this here. He says, in righteousness you shall be established, and thou shalt be far from oppression. Who wants to be oppressed? Nobody. And thou shalt not fear. Who wants to go around fearful? Nobody. And from terror, who wants to be terrorized? Nobody. For it shall not come near thee. God says, I'll keep all that away from you. Behold, thou shalt surely gather together, they shall surely gather together, the folks who are against you, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. You don't have to fight your own battles. God's going to take them down. And I've had to say that many days. You know what? Sometimes you can get mad, want to retaliate. Somebody do something to you. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. If they're not right, God will take them down. And we looked at this one a couple of weeks ago. He says, only with your eyes shall you behold and see the recompense of the wicked. You know, you just got to sit back and watch. And they'll show up. If they don't get right, they're going down. You don't have to do it. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. See what I'm saying? So stop that. Get out of that business. Get into the touch with God. And begin to pledge the protection of his promises on your life. Notice this now. This one is really something. Verse 16, behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire and bringeth forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the waster to destroy. You know who that describes? Satan. God said, I created Satan. What you worried about him for? I made him, and I give him all the power he has. And you know what? He made him to waste and destroy. Why? Because some people are not ever going to acknowledge God. They're going to go right on merrily into the grave without God, which is sad. It's a sad thing. It breaks God's heart. It ought to break yours. That there are people living in the world who don't care about anything. And we know it's true. All you can do is watch the news. Turn the news on. You'll find people who don't care, don't love God. They're doing stuff, pressing toward destruction. God is trying to hold them back because he loves them and wants them to be saved. And they're going to go kicking and screaming into the grave. They may go by way of the hospital, or they may go by way of the jailhouse, or they may go by way straight into the grave. But God doesn't want them there. But they refuse to believe God. God wants the whole world to be saved. That's what he told us, to go into all the world and make disciples. That's what we started talking about in verse 13. All thy children shall be taught of the Lord. We want everybody to learn from God. He can change the most crude, undeveloped, wicked person you can imagine if they just believe. So he notice what happens. He said, I made Satan, so don't let him get you out of check. Why? Because verse 17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, that's people talking about you or saying they're going to hurt you or threatening you some kind of way, thou shalt condemn. It's going to go the other way. They're going to threaten you, but you're going to condemn them. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. See, I'm not righteous because of myself. I'm righteous because of him. He gives me his righteousness if I trust him and pledge the protection of his promises in my life. Now, that's powerful. You got to get that. I hope if you don't get anything else, get that one today. Now, I want you to see this. The New Testament agrees with what Isaiah wrote. I always have called Isaiah, as the founding pastor of our church here, Dr. Hamilton did, the Gospel of Isaiah. Because it really is gospel. It's very good news back there, even in the Old Testament. But look at James chapter number 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God, see that, and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Wow. You mean to tell me if I just submit myself to God who loves me and wants me to have a relationship with him anyway? The devil got to hit the road. That's what he said. I created the smith that blows the coals. He's over there making stuff to destroy you, setting up stuff in your life to bring you down. He said, don't worry about him. Resist him. I got him. That's my devil. I'll put him down out of your life if you trust me. See, and God is going to use the devil for purposes that in the time of destruction, but it should not be for you. Resist, he says, the devil, and he shall flee from you. In other words, instead of you running, he's going to get going. If you submit yourself, therefore, to God, draw nigh unto God. See that? That means get close to God. Close in your relationship with God, and he will close in his relationship with you. Wow, that's a good promise. You know what? Get closer to God. Cut some foolishness out of your life. Whatever that might be, you got all got different stuff in the foolishness column. Some you can do without. And put in some word in there. Put in some praise to God. Put in a little hallelujah. Thank you, God. Some thanks and some gratitude to the Lord. And see, won't he come closer to you and tighten up the relationship? God loves you so much, he sent Jesus to the cross to pay your bill. What bill? My sin bill. My life was such a mess that nothing could save me but the blood of Jesus. God knew that, so he sent his son to the cross. He allowed him to die for us. He heaped up the sin, all our sin debt on him, on the cross. And he allowed the weak, evil people, including the devil, to afflict Jesus. And the only one who could take it was Jesus. He's the only one who could take all that and still be living. And be able to declare all powers given to me after he got up out of the grave 3 days later. See, but God decided that since we couldn't do it, I'll do it for you. So he took on flesh and he came into the world right on schedule as he had promised in the word in order to take the punishment for all of our sin. Whoever believes in the name of the Son of God shall be saved. The Bible says, if thou wilt confess with thy mouth Jesus Christ as Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And you know what? I'm not asking you to believe a myth or anything strange. You know why not? Because it's 2017, right now, today, we moved an hour forward. We play around with that hour back and forth here and there. But it's only because Jesus was born about 2017 years ago. So that's reality. I don't know what you think. I mean, we've been watching the reality shows, all these folks, the Little Women of L.A. and whatever kind of stuff we watch, all kind of stuff, you know. But the reality is Jesus Christ is the numerator, the separator of time, the divider of time. That's a reality show right there for me. He came into the middle of humanity and the whole world, not just us. It's not just us at St. Timothy that say, oh, it's 2017. No, around the globe, everywhere, every second that ticks on a clock is about Jesus. It's not about anyone else. I think that's one of the most salient points that we have as Christians, is that no other religion has a person whom the world is configured around them. No, not none. Name one. There isn't any. Only Jesus. So you should believe what God says in his word. He wants you to believe it. When you begin to draw nigh to him, he will draw nigh to you. Now notice the result. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Don't be double-minded. Be single-minded about who God is. He loves you. That's it. Why? Because he said so. How do I know? Because he sent his son to be crucified for me. And Jesus shed his blood. He died, took my penalty upon him. And he got out of the grave to show me that I have the solution. No other religious leader has ever went in the grave and gotten out. We wouldn't have anything to preach if Jesus hadn't gotten out of the grave. There's nothing to preach. It's a sad story. But it's a happy story. Because if they could have found that body, there wouldn't be any preaching. There would be no church. But the body was not found because it was seen by many witnesses for 40 days after he got out the grave. That's the word. That's what the reality of the fact. And why did he do that? So that you and I know, even death, we were talking about this earlier in the series. What does death mean? It doesn't mean nothing to me. It's a transition from here to perfection. You're going to be absent from the body, present with the Lord. That's it if you're saved. Now, that's not true of folks who deny Christ, but it is true of everyone who trusts and believes in the name of Jesus Christ. Simple faith in Christ is a promise that you don't even have to worry about the grave. Any loved one you know who loves Christ, absent from the body, present with the Lord. That's the way it is. That's what the Bible says. That's why the resurrection is important. Jesus got out the grave, so you know that I have the solution to the problem of death. One more thing. I want you to look at what Paul said as he was closing his letter to the Romans. It says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, that's that good news we just talked about, and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Nobody understood the impact of Christ thoroughly until after Jesus came, was crucified, buried, and risen. People didn't understand that. The disciples said, well, what is he talking about, crucified? They couldn't get that in their mind. But it was in the Word. It had been written in the Word all the way from the very beginning, from Genesis 3:15, all the way through the Old Testament. God had given a reason why the Messiah would be coming to the world and be crucified and all of that. But it was hard to digest, because who can imagine that? But what it does, and I'm going to just say this, and I'm going to almost be out of time. What it does is it shows you God loves you. He's done something about your sin, and he shows you that what I did is works, is effective. Why? Because my son took your sin, and he got out of the grave after 3 days and night. Why? Because I promised that's how it would be. So again, I'm going to have you to consider to boldly pledge the protection of the promises of God over your life. God promised he would do that, and he pulled it off and configured the world around the event. And you and I are here today. So Paul says this was a secret that was kept secret since the world began. It began to be uncovered after Jesus had been crucified and buried and risen. That's why he says, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets. See, now we can understand what the prophets were saying. According to the commandment of the everlasting God made known unto all nations for the obedience of faith. This is God's message to the whole world to show you how critical it is that the church preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. The church sometimes forgets what it's here for. I'm convinced, because I hear church talk about all kinds of other stuff. The meat and potatoes of the church, if you don't mind if I use that metaphor. Somebody probably thinking, let me get out of here so I can get some. But the meat and potatoes of the church is Christ crucified, buried, and risen. And yo, that's where your peace is going to come from. That's where you're going to have to say, hey, I'm good. Whatever I'm going through, I can handle it. Because God loves me that much, he gave his son for me. And he told us, tell this to everyone. It's not just for us. We want to tell everybody. You know what? And I got to say this. We want everybody to be saved. They don't want to be saved. The devil is over there fashioning all kinds of stuff. You know, it says he was a smith that brings out works for what he's doing. He's making false religion around the clock, getting people deceived. Somebody said something about Christians being against ISIS. I said, no. ISIS is the Christians' mission field. I'm not against ISIS. I don't approve what they're doing, but they need to be saved. If they knew that God loves you and you're over here cutting off people's head, but he loves you and he'd like to save you, he gave his son to be crucified for you, they would change the way they live. See, so I'm not against them. I'm trying to tell them the truth. Everybody else, name another group. All kinds of people say, oh, the Christians are against us. No, we're not. If you're real one, you're not. I heard a guy on the radio almost got mad the other day talking about all these people who did this, that, and the other. They ought to just be thrown in the jail. I said, why don't you go tell them the gospel? What you on the radio for? Tell them the truth. That's what they need. You shouldn't be their judge. Tell them the truth so they can get saved. That's what they need. They need to know Jesus loves me and I am not living right. I need to focus on the promises that God has made. That's my purpose. I'm not your judge. I'm here to tell you God loves you. Whatever you're doing, that's between you and him. He'll fix it. If you start talking to him, he'll fix it. I guarantee you. He can show you just where you need to be. And he loves you enough, no matter what you're doing, you can call me right now. You don't have to wait 5 seconds. I'm right here for you today, right now. Today is the day of salvation, and now is the acceptable time. So the presence and the work of the devil and all his host shall be in progress against everyone. That's the way it is in the world, and especially against the saved, until God brings a final end to his antics, which he is going to do. Nevertheless, as we are going through this life, it must be expected that we should develop and escalate our relationship with God. See? And also plan to be on guard against the workers of iniquity who are under the deceit of the devil to do his will. See? That's what you're going to run into. You know, I've been a part of it. Paul was a part of it. He hated the church till he understood the gospel. When he understood the gospel, he became the most biggest worker the church has ever had. Wrote half the New Testament. And you know what? He was against the church. He said, I'm going down there to get those Christians and bind them and bust them up and lock them up in the jail. He heard the gospel. Christ told him, bam, 180. His life turned around on a dime. People said, Paul coming to preach? Oh, no, we don't trust him. Because he had such a bad notoriety. He was notorious for destroying Christians. You know, he was there when they stoned Stephen to death. Say, give this, let me hold your coat. Go ahead and get yourself where you can give a good strong blow to that head. I'll hold your coats. And he gave consent to it. But once he got saved, he realized he was wrong as two left shoes, if you don't mind if I use that metaphor. And he repented. And God said, I have prepared you from your mother's womb for the purpose of preaching the gospel. See, and so it's good news. So we want to make sure we understand people who don't obey God. Isaiah teaches us through the Spirit and the Word of God that we are being taught by God, that we are also being protected by God against the will of the devil and his evil schemes and devices, which we learn that even though the devil is one, he is in the business of making weapons against God and against his children, that none of them that he forms will prosper against God's elect. Whatever the devil is making, it will not prosper if you trust God. If you hold on to his promise, he can make all kinds of stuff. At one time I thought the weapon of cocaine would destroy me. But it did not prosper. Did not prosper. God got me off of it. I'm not going down that road anymore. Somebody might have thought the weapon of crack might prosper. But God can get you off of it. There's a weapon of alcohol that might prosper. But no, God will get you off of it. He can set you free. Whatever it is that the devil is making, God can set you free. You just need to trust. None of the devil's weapons will prosper if you just trust God. So Paul the Apostle teaches us in conclusion of this epistle. This is the concluding verses of Romans. That everything provided to us by the Holy Spirit through the gospel of Jesus Christ is revealed truth from the Old Testament and is a message of the goodness of God to all nations. We're a universal organism, the church is. We want everybody to hear the good news, and is to be obeyed and trusted through faith for the glory of God, and who plans to crush Satan under your feet. That's what God said I will do. For you, I will crush the devil under your feet. So should you be worried about the devil? No, you shouldn't be.
And if you're here today and you're not saved, and you've never understood this, we want to invite you to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. This is the most important thing in life. There's nothing more important, I have to say. Nothing at all. You know, you need to know beyond a shadow of doubt that you are saved. You have taken up God on his word. So I'm going to ask everyone to stand if you're able. Somebody just take a stand. Let's pray. If you're not saved, ask God to save you right now in this time of prayer. Lord God, we bless you. We praise you. We have heard the good news that you sent your son. This world is configured around him. And he came to pay our sin bill. And Father, we have sinned and come short of your glory. But Lord God, we know it is your good pleasure to give us the kingdom. So someone in the room needs you today to save their soul, oh God. And they're going to just simply ask you right now, like you have said, just ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it will be open for you. We're asking today, God, fill us. We want to be saved. We don't want to be in bondage to our flesh or to the world or to drugs or habits or any of that. Father, we want to walk righteously in your sight. And so save anybody inviting Jesus into their heart right now, Lord God. Help them to know right now from this moment forward that you cannot lie. You have spoken the truth and they have heard the word today of the love that you have for them. And now we understand you so loved the world you gave Jesus, your only begotten son. And you raised him out the grave to prove that death was swallowed up in victory. And so today, Father, save them if they trust you right now in the quietness of their own heart. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. You promise whoever believes in the name of the Son of God will be filled and sealed with the Holy Spirit for the day of redemption. Fill us right now, Lord. We need the infilling of the Spirit. We need him in order to understand and interpret your word. We need him in order to set aside the flesh and the world and the whims of man so that we can walk by faith and not by sight. Bless today in the room, Father, anyone inviting you to be their Savior for the very first time. And refresh all the rest of us, God. We need a refreshing of your Spirit, Lord. We need it every day, God. Sometimes, God, we need to ask you to forgive us for quenching your Spirit, Lord. Help today, God. Help us be the real men and women of God in this last and evil time. This is no game, no show. We thank you for your Spirit today, God. We bless your holy name. We thank you for this salvation, Father. Help us work together to get the good news out before the time is up. Oh, God, we love you today the best we know how. We wish we could love you as much as you have loved us, but we know we don't have the capacity. But teach us to love you more today, Lord, and to love one another. You said if we do not love our brother who we can see, how can we love God whom we have never seen? Bless today, oh, God, with that understanding. We ask this in the matchless name of your Son, Jesus, our Savior. And it's in his righteousness that we pray. Give God a big hand praise. Amen. I thank God for if there's any of you here today that have been saved just now, we want to ask you to come and let that be known. We give you that opportunity to come and even to become a member of St. Timothy MB Church. Amen. We realize salvation is a personal matter between each of us and God. But if you'd like to make it known, please come forward right now at this time. Amen. That you have received the salvation from the Lord. Amen. You can come right now. You don't have to be ashamed. We've all been through the same thing. I remember I've been out of church for years and years and years, living awful, going down the hill. The devil was using all kinds of stuff, and it was working. Not to give him any credit, but it was working. He was taking me down, just trying to destroy my life and my family. And it was not until I trusted in Jesus. And I did that when I was in a deep pit of trouble. And I only did it then out of desperation because it felt like I'm getting closed in on and I'm not going to be able to come back up this time. That's the way it felt. And I remembered something my grandmother said, trust in the Lord Jesus, call him. And I called on him and stuff started to change. It's been changing ever since. Amen. And he is able. So I understand. I'm not ashamed to tell you where he bought me from. Amen. And everybody in here came from somewhere to be here today. So you're in good company. Because everybody in here, nobody in here has been perfect and spotless and walking in complete righteousness, not even today. So don't be ashamed. The Lord loves you. We love you too. And we want to connect with you so that we can help you grow. Amen. You grow better when you're with like-minded people who have been through what you've been through and who know what you need to know and help you understand the word and God's grace and mercy. Amen. So that's why we're here. We're all here. This is the church is the hospital for sin sick sinners. And I'm trying to get better. I'm trying to get healed entirely. Amen. I don't know what that feels like, but I'm going to try to find out. I'm working on it. Amen. So we have done as God commands. We see that there are none, but yet there is room. Once again, I want to give out a big, big shout to Deacon Perry. He's one of my heroes. But he preached the gospel for so many years. He was a warrior for Jesus. He was a prison minister. He's just an awesome man of God. We thank God for bringing him to be here with us today. Amen. Amen. I'm a faculty member. Come right over here. Thank you very much.
sky commands, and we see that there are none, but yet there is room, and we hope you did get a good word and something you can grow on. Amen. Amen, because God is able. He's not through with us yet. I'm happy to know he ain't through with me yet. I got some rough edges that still need to be refined. Amen. Amen. And he's going to take care of everyone. He promised that none of them would rise against me in the judgment. Amen. Amen. So having done that, we're...